Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino and I have a very special episode today. We're going to be talking about Jessica Simpson's open book. You guys know I love Queen Icon Legend Jessica Simpson. I was so excited that she had this book coming out and I've been wanting to do like a breakdown of the book. So we're not going to get into like every little detail of the book. I encourage everyone to read it or listen to the audiobook. But I do think we need to at least chat a little bit about what was going on because I thought there was so much good, juicy stuff in it. So I invited my friend, you guys know Hannah Brown, of course, from the podcast Brown Eyed Unicorn.
She's Hi.
Been on Everything Iconic before. We love her. Hannah, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm just so thrilled to talk Jessica with you.
So much to talk about.
So much to talk about.
Wait, I have a good Jessica Simpson story. It's maybe not good.
Lay it on me.
Building it up too much. But so I went to the Kelly Clarkson show mm-hmm. with Ariana and Tom were doing a segment for the cocktail book that I co-wrote with them. So they were doing a segment on the Kelly Clarkson show. I don't know when it's going to air, like a little bit down the road probably. But anyway, so we get there and the talent coordinator, like the guy who brings you to the green room and stuff, he goes, like, you do the Jessica Thursdays. And I was, yeah. And he's like, oh, Jessica was the first interview. And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, wait, what? But then somebody like brought us to somewhere else or something. So it all moved so quickly. And I was thinking, wait, did Jessica guest on Kelly Clarkson's show first? But then I remember Kelly's first episode and I was like, Jessica wasn't on that. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, what's going on? Then I find out later, Jessica was the first guest of that day. So we were like ships passing in the night.
No.
We were in the same building at one point. Like she had filmed something for Kelly Clarkson's show the same day that I was there. And so I just missed her by like an hour.
Oh my
God. And then I find out, or I don't know if this was true, but somebody there had said that Ariana and Tom were going to be on the show with Jessica, but then they switched, there was a scheduling thing, or I don't know what happened, but they switched him to another episode. So I was really so close to her.
Oh my God. Nothing, are you upset?
I was very upset.
What, if you were to meet Jessica, what would you say?
I'd probably cry.
Mm-hmm. I would too.
I don't know. I would want to talk about the music. I have so many questions. I mean, after reading that book, it was like so much stuff. But I think I'm most interested in like the Newlyweds era and the music era.
Do you think she knows about Jessica Thursdays?
So here's the thing. People have been asking me if she does. And I did hear from someone that worked for the brand. Mm-hmm. And they had messaged me that they all in the office love Jessica Thursdays. And they were laughing about it. And they were going to send me a signed copy of the book. But then I never got a signed copy of the book.
What a tease.
I know. I was like so upset about it because I was like waiting in the mail. I'm like, where's this signed book?
Yeah, waiting
and
with bated
breath.
And I was
so excited because I just love her. And then I never got it. But they did imply that either she was aware of it, but they could have been, who knows?
My gosh.
But they did say that they love it around the office.
That's
so
thrilling.
That's good.
Yeah, your impact.
My impact. You know, I just started Ash Wednesdays.
Oh my gosh. I saw it yesterday.
Yeah. I felt like we needed to celebrate Ashley. And I thought, we got to dive in.
People came into, I worked last night at my serving job and people came in with, you know, the ash on their forehead. And I was thinking like, I forgot that Ash Wednesday is like an actual thing, not just like Ashley Simpson Wednesday. I was like, wow, it's taken on a whole new meaning for me.
I did get a couple of messages. So as of this recording, I've only done one Ash Wednesday, mm-hmm. but I did get a couple messages from religious people that
were they offended?
Maybe weren't so happy that I was hijacking the holiday and dedicating it to Ashley Simpson.
Does Linda Pellegrino know about Ash Wednesdays?
Linda, I don't know. I haven't heard from her yet. But
happy
I'm sure
belated to Linda.
I'm sure I'll get an earful from her. Mm-hmm. Like, Dan, what are you doing? That's not what Ash Wednesday's about, Dan.
This is Lent. This is Lent.
This is Lent, Dan.
Are you giving anything up for Lent?
No. I'm giving into something, Ash Wednesdays. That's what I'm doing
for
the Lord Jesus Christ.
I love that.
Okay, so we got to talk about this book. You tell me your history with Jessica Simpson.
Okay, I have a long history with her because I remember, like, growing up, I loved Newlyweds. I thought she was the coolest, funniest, prettiest person on the planet. And my mom thought it was the most egregious thing. She was like, how do you look up to this ding dong?
Wow, mom,
person.
Wow.
I was like, wow, mom, wow. She really wasn't impressed by the chicken by the sea scene. And I was like, comedic gold.
Cinema verte.
Yeah. But I looked up to her a lot. And then I remember when Dukes of Hazzard came out, that was what, 2004-ish? Okay, so I was like 13. I was in a very awkward, unfortunate phase, okay? And then that fucking Boots Are Made for Walking video comes out. And I am like, I resented Jessica. Mm. I was like, no one wants to ask me to dance at bat and bar mitzvahs because of you being perfect washing a car
right.
with a really aggressive spray tan.
You know, that whole car wash scene from that video mm-hmm. was just made everyone mad.
Yeah.
Made Pink mad.
Uh-huh.
Remember Pink did a, and when she did the So What video, I believe, she did a little parody of it.
It was a, maybe if I act like that, the guy will go.
Meanwhile.
Stupid Girls. That's what
it was called. Stupid Girls, yeah.
Honestly, that's a shady song. Like, fuck off, Pink.
Yeah. Also, that was really shady of Pink because she went to Jessica's birthday party on Newlyweds. If you watch the episode where it's Jessica's 23rd birthday party, you see Pink culturally appropriating and uh-huh. saying happy birthday to Jessica at the same time. And then here comes Pink. Acrobatically making fun of her.
Yeah.
Song.
And Britney.
Yeah. And Paris Hilton, I think, did a, or somebody did a Hardee's commercial or Carl's yes. Jr. commercial. Mm-hmm.
Eating a burger on a car.
I think that was a parody of it. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember I was so bitter. And then I remember like one in 2009, so I would have been like a senior in high school slash like freshman in college when that whole chili cook off thing happened. Mm. I remember feeling this sense of like, oh my God, Jessica's human just like all of us.
Sure.
And it was like, I remember feeling badly, even in 2009, that like her body was such an insane topic of conversation. But I also remember feeling the sense of relief of like, oh, Jessica like is a human and we feel the same feelings and we've gone through the same shit.
Also, in retrospect, yeah. that wasn't, she was like so not big at all. Of
no.
course, they were maybe not like the best pair of jeans, but it was like, she looked great.
She looked,
her body looked amazing. It was like a weird angle too, because the photo's from below. I don't like any photo from below.
No.
Always
oh my
go
God.
From a high angle. If I see someone taking a photo from below, I get so pissed.
Oh my God. There was like one time when I used to dabble in stand up when my friend was like, I'm going to get pictures of you. And I was wearing these Lululemon pants. They suck everything in. I feel great in them. And I had like a full blown camel toe from underneath.
Yeah. It's not a flattering
what
angle.
What the fuck?
When I was doing the San Francisco live show, there was someone, a very nice woman who worked at the venue who was doing the meet and greet photos. Mm-hmm. And she was a little bit shorter. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm tall, but it was like every photo was from below. And every single one I look at, I'm like, oh my God, we need a higher angle. Like I need to give someone a step stool or something.
Yeah, a little apple box.
And that's what all those photos that they were publishing of Jessica at the time from the chili cook-off, they were all at that low angle. It was mm-hmm. just tragic.
Mm-hmm.
And also imagine everyone fucking talking about your body.
Oh my gosh. And like hinting to it in interviews. And I mean, yeah.
Every interview she did, they would say, like about so. The mom jeans or the chili cook-off.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck off,
fuck
Ellen,
off.
Or whoever.
I know. And then I feel like then in recent years, I became a fan of hers, again, through your Jessica Thursdays, because you really unearth all these iconic moments that I've since forgotten about. And now that I read the book, I'm like a super fan.
You know, it's interesting. The Jessica Thursday thing, it started more of like a little bit of a joke. I always loved her, but it mm-hmm. was, I don't know what happened. It was like, I thought a clip was funny, and then mm-hmm. I found another clip that was funny. And what I learned early on was that everyone's been obsessed, and I think I mentioned this on the show before, but mm-hmm. everyone at one point in their lives has been obsessed with Jessica Simpson. I'm talking gay, straight, women, men.
Yeah.
Most women I hear from or talk to, they were obsessed during the Newlyweds era, like uh-huh. you. Most gay men were obsessed during the music era.
Mm-hmm.
Most straight men were obsessed during
Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my college roommate, Bryant, he had the Rolling Stone cover on our wall.
With the vacuum or the mop or whatever?
Yeah, Swiffer. Which we learn in the book was supposed to be a cover with Nick Lachey.
No.
And then they got rid of him because she was the star. But my straight roommate had that. And I look at pictures and I'm like, wow, I had a Jessica Simpson poster in my dorm room my sophomore year of college.
She's a true icon, queen, and legend.
True, true. And so I learned early on that everyone at some point has been obsessed with her, not even just like a little bit, but mm-hmm. more than most stars,
mm-hmm.
everyone has been pretty obsessed at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could look at someone like Britney, and I think Britney's sort of similarly where people have felt all sorts of different type of people have felt that way about her, but there's very few stars that kind of cross all those boundaries.
So true.
So I just I really like it. So you said Newlyweds, you were obsessed with. Did you have a favorite look from Newlyweds or something that you watched that you were like, I want that bag, like the bag, Louis Vuitton bag?
Or yeah. Okay. There's one look that I remember very distinctly. It's when she's trying to empty a vase of flowers that have gone bad. And she spills the disgusting flower water.
Episode one.
Yes, all over the kitchen. And she's in these like cargo pant capris with like a slip-on like wooden wedge, sky-high wedges. And then I want to say like a lime green like tank top or something. And then just like a little messy ponytail. Mm. And I just remember thinking like she looked so like effortlessly cool.
Yeah.
And I also, I mean, obviously we all liked her little knit pashmina. And I also loved her Barbarella birthday look.
Those lashes.
I literally remember watching that episode being like, she is so cool. And I remember thinking she was so mature and she was only 23.
She's so young.
She's a baby.
She's a baby.
Yes.
So I want to back up. The book goes through it all. Again, we're going to give some spoilers. So if you haven't read it, you know, go read it or don't listen. Or listen and don't read it. But going back to the early years, Tommy Mottola is the one who signed her, and he right off the bat told her she needed to lose weight. She needed to lose 15 pounds as a, what was it, 17-year-old child.
Yes.
And that was when she started taking diet pills.
Which she took for years after that.
Yeah, she took what she kept referring to as uppers.
Mm-hmm.
And what a dick. And also, what a shift in the music industry, because now we have big artists like Billie Eilish and Lizzo, who they're not relying on their looks. They're still beautiful people, but it's like not the same kind of thing where back then it was like they all had to show the midriff.
Oh my gosh. He told Jessica like, okay, so she lost the weight and then he goes, now I want Janet Jackson abs.
Like, fuck off.
Everyone's body is made different. Not everyone is literally physically wired to have Janet Jackson abs, no matter how hard you work.
Janet Jackson's not always wired to have Janet Jackson abs.
No.
It's like enough.
Yeah, enough. And also I feel like what a confusing way to grow up, because she was definitely giving conflicted messages, because one minute she's in church singing and her parents covered her up because she developed boobs really young, and the like creepy men in church were like, you need to cover your daughter because people are going to start to lust after her.
Fuck those guys.
Her mom's like, she's 14, like calm down. But they put her in like turtlenecks and vests and like all these layers, and then 2 seconds later Tommy Mottola's like, lose weight and like wear, you know, a bra as a blouse and figure that out. And Joe Simpson's like, okay,
Papa Joe is ready to do anything to make that kid a star.
Exactly. That was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel bad for these pop girls. And I always say, like, we learn things trickled down throughout the years. And it's like, now we're learning this stuff about early in her career. I'm so glad that it seems like we've gotten in a better place in the music industry. But it is so dark. I remember when they tried to shift her more towards Britney, because that first album they did more ballady type stuff.
Yes.
Right? She did... It was like sexual church hymnals. That's what I like to call it. It was like in I Want to Love You Forever, which was her first debut song. There's a lyric, I'll cherish every drop here on my knees, which is such a sexualized lyric.
Yeah.
But it was a ballad and no one caught it because it was like, well, this is a ballad from this minister's daughter.
Yeah.
But then her next album, the Irresistible album, they really tried to like lean into Britney. And that was when they made her do the midriff. They made her try to dance.
She's not a dancer.
She's nothing of the sort.
No. I rewatched the Irresistible video actually recently, and there's like a dance break part.
My favorite.
It's like the hot to bring. Yes, I'll embrace. So she tries to dance and it doesn't fully work.
Yeah, I mean, that whole video, it's like a Fast and the Furious franchise film, if I've ever seen one. Like, I don't know why they haven't asked her to join that series, because there's like a helicopter going, there's chase scenes and all that. It's great stuff. But also during that whole era, there was the A Little Bit song where they have her doing like cane work. Mm-hmm. So they give her a cane to dance with to like make it seem like she could dance a little bit better.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
It's not what you want.
It was all a mess.
I wanted to ask too. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but
no, please do.
I want to let you know, for me, the book took, I'm not like a reader per se, which is not something I'm proud of. I'm trying to read more, but I like blew through this book.
You need to read more. Yeah. It's good, healthy to read.
100%. I blew through this book within like a couple weeks, but it took me longer than it would have to read it, because every photo shoot she mentioned, I Googled every music video, every interview. It's like I wanted to see exactly what she was talking about. So it took me a long time because I had to keep like putting my book down and picking up my phone and going back.
Hannah, I was shocked reading the book from working in the publishing industry and like being... I couldn't believe that they let her publish these names.
Like, oh my God.
We just mentioned Tommy Mottola. It's like that little tidbit would have been something that a main thing in any other book. This, in this book, it was just like one little piece of it because she named everyone, every ex, every man, everything. And I couldn't believe that the publisher let her do that. And the only explanation I have for it is that she was like, I'll pay for the legal bills or something. Like if somebody comes after us, because normally they would, the publisher would say, okay, can you take out the name or nickname it or allude to
the person. Yeah.
She named every fucking person.
Oh my God. It was like an inspirational burn book.
Yeah.
Like truly. John Mayer. Oh.
Should we talk about, let's get into the John Mayer of it all.
The John Mayer of it all.
John Mayer. So what was interesting to me is that she said she basically was like, they were obsessed with each other.
Obsessed.
And she said she didn't feel smart around him. And that's when she really took the drinking to another level because she just wasn't comfortable around this man. Mm-hmm. And he seems like such a fucking asshole in this book. What did you make of him after reading it? Did you like him before?
Okay, so I've like kind of always gone back and forth on John Mayer. Like I think objectively he's like a super talented musician and I certainly understand like the sex appeal of him, but he's never been someone that I've been like, ooh, like John Mayer. Ugh. Like I can wrap my head around it logically, but I'm not like physically attracted to him. After reading this book, I tell you what, I'm certainly not attracted to him in any way, shape or form.
There was a point where she said they had broken up. Mm-hmm. She was with the new guy, Eric. Mm-hmm. And John Mayer started coming back around and was like being friends with her parents.
He was like stalking her.
So fucking manipulative too. Like he was making friends with the parents and then wanted to get back together. And then she said she was thinking about getting back together. And then he said something along the lines of like, you'll have to work for it or something.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
Yeah. He is a true narcissist based on what was written in that book. But I will say, when she talked about how he just like worshipped her, like her body and her face, I was like, I just want to know, like, when it was good with John Mayer, I bet it was like really good. Like, I bet she had her fun. She did say too in the book, like, I had a list of guys I wanted to date in Hollywood and I checked off every single box. And I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah, that was, and she did. I mean, it was like she's dated so many men during the off Nick years.
Yeah.
But I was interested in the fact that on a more serious note, her relationship with sexuality was kind of fraught from the beginning. Like she goes into some of the abuse she suffered as a child. Mm-hmm. And then she had this John Mayer thing where he was like literally giving interviews about his sex with her.
It's disgusting.
And it just felt to me like, oh my God, that would have fucked me up so hard. All of these things sexually that she's been through, not just emotionally, but just in relation to her physical appearance and her, the act of sex, that whole thing in the beginning where she talks about this family friend who had sexually abused her and she was protecting Ashley.
Yes.
She like didn't want the family friend to do the same thing she was doing to her to Ashley. And first of all, I thought, bravo on you. Like, I'm so happy that Ashley didn't have to suffer through that. But
yeah,
like, just awful.
And like, and so confusing when you're growing up in this super Christian household and sex is this sort of like unspoken sinful thing. And then you're being abused sexually. And then you grow up to be like her whole brand in the early stages of her music career was that she was this super sexy virgin. Mm-hmm. And she was like 16, 17 years old. And her virginity is the thing that everyone's talking about.
That was so fucked up back in those days. You remember they would talk about everyone's virginity.
Britney.
Like, why are these grown? It would be like grown men interviewing Britney for Rolling Stone or. And they're like asking about their virginity. And even the Jonas Brothers had the
rings
at one time, and it's like, why are we caring about kids' virginities? Yeah. It's fucked up and
fuck
weird.
Off. And then
we didn't even think anything of it as kid. I didn't think anything of it as kid.
I remember like being so curious too, like as a kid, being like when she married Nick, I was like, oh my God, Jessica Simpson like had sex, like whoa. And then that became a thing, and then Nick seemed very possessive in his own way, and then she finally like has this insane sexual connection with John Mayer, and then he fucking exploits it.
Let's talk about Nick. Okay, so Nick. He didn't come across well, but he also, I think, in comparison to people like John Mayer in the book, I think it's like, okay, well, Nick was bad, but he wasn't, you know, as maybe manipulative.
Yeah.
I was very fascinated by the prenup situation because they had talked about, they didn't end up doing the prenup, and Nick had more clout and more success before they got married. Mm-hmm. And I always think that that's troublesome in a marriage. It's like, the power dynamics when they shift like that.
Yeah.
I think it would cause issues for anyone, but men, straight men can be so fragile.
Yes.
And so it's like an imploded, but I hate that straight men are so fragile.
It's really fucking annoying.
It's like, come on.
I know.
I feel like that's shifting a little bit in our society, but still, I don't know, these straight guys, especially straight famous men or actory types, musicians, you know, industry folks, like, they can be just, you know, we've dated.
Oh my God. I was going to say, there's a reason I think neither of us are with like a really intense industry person right now.
Yeah, because they're nightmares.
Nightmares. Egomaniacs.
They need so much attention and they're so fragile.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt it was, I agree though. I think it seemed like they weren't a good match from the jump.
They were just young.
They were just young and like very attracted to each other. Like, but they certainly shouldn't have gotten married. And I mean, Jessica even says, like, now I understand why my mom got married so young. Like, we all just wanted to have sex and weren't allowed to until we got married. And I'm like, that's so sad.
She does say regarding Nick that their most, the most love they felt towards each other, or the most chemistry they had, was on stage. Mm-hmm. And rewatching performances where they do duets, I'm like, oh my God, they were in love on stage at least.
Yeah.
Like, there was a chemistry there that I think like no one else, not many people have with each other. Like, I was watching, I posted a clip on my Instagram of them doing Where You Are, and it's like, they're smiling at each other. They just look so in love. And I think that for all of us, the audience, was deceiving, because we're watching that and like, oh, that's what love is.
Yes.
And we're seeing the performances, but we're not seeing so much behind the scenes of what happened.
And then if you go back and watch Newlyweds, like season three, like she says, like, I could just tell that he hated me. Like, everything I said, like just me existing, pissed him off. And you can tell on the show.
I loved in the book when she mentioned the Newlyweds finale, because I had just done a binge of Newlyweds, and that finale is so weird. It's like the two of them in their house, they say they're moving and they clearly hate each other. It's like a clip show.
Yeah.
And I always wondered about that. I'm like, what was going on there? Was it over at that point? And in the book, she does say like, it was done. But it was weird to me that she said in the book, they would even go to fight other places. Even when the cameras weren't there, they would go to like other places to fight because they were like paranoid about cameras.
Yeah,
that's
like they would drive to like the middle of a parking lot and just like yell at each other.
That is so fucked up.
I know. It all sounds so fucking traumatic.
Yeah.
And like, I have been doing wellness checks on Jessica like since the book came out, just like looking at her Instagram more and like seeing what she's been up to. And like, I just want to give her props for being as well-adjusted as she is, because you read about everything she's been through, and then, like, meanwhile, you see Brittany on her Instagram, like, fully spiraling, which isn't entertaining. It's really fucking hard to watch.
Yeah.
And even when Queen Icon legend Jennifer Love Hewitt was on your show, and I was here for that recording, I remember after being like, so, like, it's such a testament to, like, you and your mom that you ended up, like, so lovely and so normal. And I was like, I mean, what are your thoughts on Brittany? And Jennifer Love Hewitt, like, looked like she was going to cry and was like, it's really sad.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they go through so much.
Yeah.
And Jessica went through all this stuff. And I think we all sort of thought that she was living a more normal life while all this stuff was going on. And then we find all this stuff behind the scenes. Even Mandy Moore, it's interesting. She came out recently and said that Ryan Adams, I believe, who she was married to, had been very controlling and told her she couldn't do music and all of this awful stuff. And we always just thought, oh, she's just taking a break, like a normal human being. She's taking a break. But actually, she was with this manipulative asshole man who was fucking her up.
Yeah.
And we learn about all this stuff with the pop stars. But Newlyweds, it was interesting. She was very into the idea of Newlyweds at the beginning. They loved each other. And then it was a slow burn after that. And that show was just so incredibly successful. And she said they like kind of started playing the roles that they were playing on the show. So even when they weren't filming, it was like he was rolling her eyes and she was the ditzy one.
Yeah.
And that must have been tough because they were so huge at that point and they were doing everything from like award show hosting to variety shows.
Yeah.
The variety shows are so fucking crazy.
Really wild.
But every one of their appearances, they made them play those roles. Mm-hmm. It was like some award show writer was writing them where she had to be dumb and he had to wave his finger at her.
Yeah.
And so they're just literally forced into these roles with each other.
And like, I didn't realize they had a 7-year age difference too.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think age differences can work or not work depending on who's in the relationship, obviously. But like, it did seem like very specifically like where they were at in their lives career-wise and like maturity-wise and like life experience-wise were just like kind of different. But I also feel like Nick was so judgmental of Jessica as far as like, just like constantly rolling his eyes at her. And like, I feel like just not making an effort to really get to know her better.
And she's a young girl.
Exactly. She's a young girl who's like been like pursuing a music career forever. Like instead of being a dick about doing laundry, why don't you just like teach her how to do laundry?
Yeah, or don't marry her until you like her.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe like, don't marry someone you don't actually like that much.
Yeah. I don't know. Nick, He seems like, I've heard he's a really nice guy. Like, mm-hmm. I've heard people who've worked with him and all that, that say he's just a lovely man. He's Ohio man. But I think he went into the marriage thinking it was going to be something else and wanting, and sometimes these guys, they want like a traditional wife role, which is so gross. It's like, so whatever.
Which is what Tony Romo wanted for her too.
Yeah. Tony Romo, that was, let's talk about him for a minute. Yeah. So she dated Tony Romo. It was it post John, I believe?
Post John.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's a football player. He's played the sports ball.
Yeah.
And yeah, he wanted a traditional wife role. And it's like, well, then find someone who also wants that. Like,
yeah.
Don't try to force somebody into that narrative.
I know. And I think at that point, she was so like exhausted by the whole John Mayer thing where she's like, okay, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can just like give up on my own shit and like be a homemaker. But being a homemaker never seemed to be something that happened organically for Jessica, you know?
Yeah, she And Tony could see that on fucking Newlyweds.
Yeah, exactly.
You watch the show.
Do you know who you're dating?
It's like, but these guys, they want, it's like, oh, she's so gorgeous, and they want like the arm candy, but then they don't want like the person that comes along with it. It's gross. Nick, going back to him a little bit, at the end of Newlyweds, that was when Jessica started doing Dukes of Hazzard. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, when their relationship fractured. And she was always in the press saying, being blamed for the end of the relationship with Nick. And I think reading the book, it was interesting because we found out that he had been checked out of the marriage before that. And she had suspected him of cheating. She didn't know for sure. But she had suspected it. And so she went off to film Dukes of Hazzard. Nick's treating her like an asshole because he's jealous. She's getting all the press, the movie roles and all that. And then she gets into an emotional affair with Johnny Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time there were rumors of her with Bam Margera, which she didn't go into in the book, which is upsetting. But she did say that her and Johnny Knoxville had an emotional affair. And that was fascinating to me because she said like they would send each other quotes and like
love letters.
Yeah. And he was married at the time. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe she was talking about that because it just seemed to me like something they would both want to continue to keep a secret.
Yeah.
Because it didn't make either of them look good.
Well, that's what I appreciated about the book, too, is she talks about moments where she's like, I'm not proud of this, but, like, here's what I fucking did. Like, I really don't think she owned the roles that she played in every situation,
right,
good or bad. And I really admired that in the book. But I think their relationship, I understood why she was in the emotional affair with Johnny, too, because he, like, made her feel smart and made her feel important and, like, worthy, whereas Nick sort of just, like, rolled his eyes at her and treated her like a moron.
And it was so... it was so good because she's talking about going, having this emotional affair with Johnny Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And she's in the book seeming like she's feels a little bit remorseful of it. Mm-hmm. But then she reveals that Nick at the time was recording his next solo album and he had written a song, What's Left of Me,
already
while they're still in this marriage. And then they end the marriage and Nick is pretending as if this stuff was, and we know it doesn't happen like that. It's not like the song is written and then it's out the next day.
No,
like it's written way ahead of time. They produced it ahead of time. That song was ready to go. And like, that's fucked up. Like just before they even got divorced, and then they got divorced and Nick releases this whole album and he goes on what she calls a divorce press tour.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
And then he hires the same exact camera crew from Newlyweds to do a special on him
for
where
VH1.
He gets to, like lick his fucking wounds and play his tiny violin about like how mean Jessica was and how he's divorced. And sorry, you go.
He also gave her shit about Newlyweds.
Yes.
About the whole experience. And then here he is hiring that crew, like you mentioned.
I know. Also, I remember watching the making the video of What's Left of Me and being very, very, pissed off. I was so young when that came out. I was pissed off.
You're just like 13. Like, oh, God damn it.
I was. I remember being
that motherfucker.
I was very like angry at Vanessa Minnillo because I remember I always looked up to her as like an MTV VJ. I thought she was so pretty and so cool. And then I remember she got hired as like his love interest in the video, like in the Jessica role. And I remember when they were doing making the video, she said like, I'll take what's left of Nick. Like, he's so sexy. She was making all these like, you know, jokes, in my opinion, in really poor taste, given like the timing of everything, like really insensitive jokes. And now they're like married with kids. And I'm sorry, I saw that interview and I think Vanessa has not been coming off good since the book came out.
Well, I have my theories on Vanessa. I'm not saying she's a bad person, but anyone who's seen those knife photos of her and Lindsay Lohan when they're so fucked up in the middle of the night trying to be sexy with knives, I'm sorry, but that Mace, she presents herself as like this goody two shoes. You know, she's in Hallmark movies mm-hmm. and Lifetime movies. And I just think there's a little bit more of a dark side there. And maybe I'm being too judgy. And maybe that dark side's very interesting. And maybe that we'll hear her open book. But Nick films that video with her and yeah. she's playing the Jessica role. And in that video, there's even a camera crew that like disappears. Yes. Right? And like they're
it's
literally.
The dumbest video ever.
I do love that song. I like secretly like it? Love it. I secretly yeah. love it. It's, yeah. I like really love it.
We don't always see eye to eye on our music taste, Danny, but like I respect your journey.
I like love that. It's like a ballad I love to listen to in a grocery yeah. store. Like I just think it's fantastic.
For sure.
It's his only good song though. Mm-hmm. The only one.
I like True to Your Heart by 98 Degrees from Mulan. But that's 98 Degrees. It's not
98 Degrees has a bunch. Yeah. I was always more of a Jeff Timmons fan.
Mm-hmm. Is he a member of 98?
Yeah, he's like the hot yeah. one.
I'm gonna Google him really
He's
quick.
Not the Lachey's and he's not the one with the blonde hair.
Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, he's like hot. I always like 98 Degrees because they were muscly.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah, like the other boy bands, they maybe had one that had like a little muscle, but the 98 Degrees, they always look like the Abercrombie yes. models to me, or except for the ugly one. There was the one with the blonde.
Oh, Jeff Timmons is hot. Isn't Whoa, hot? Look at this.
He does Chippendales.
Yeah, I was going to say yeah. he's like a full-on Chippendale.
Now he's like, yeah, he looks a little like older and leathery now, but
yeah, he has sort of like a Ty Pennington vibe going for him now. Oh,
move that bus.
Move that bus. You know who my favorite boy band guy was?
Yeah.
Joey Fatone.
Joey,
I liked
really?
Like a beefy Italian man. And like,
I know someone who hooked up with him.
Oh my God.
Said he was great.
Said he was great in yeah. bed. I bet he was like really well, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he really nice. She said, not he.
And then
she said he was
he probably right. like made her like pasta in the morning or something.
Yeah. Although
meatballs.
Yeah. He seems nice. Joey
Love him. One time I saw him at a bar with like a gal. I don't know if it's his this was like years ago. And he had put on some pounds in his age, but you know, no
us?
Body shaming. He looked fine as
who
hell.
Among us?
I was like, Joey, I love him in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but I digress.
You're really a big Joey Fatone fan. Wow. That was like 5 minutes soliloquy about your love of Joey Fatone. Like what?
I'm like literally blushing.
You know who's on my shit list right now? Who? Speaking of that group, is Lance.
Because he officiated Jackson Brittany's
yeah,
wedding?
Yeah, and I always liked him, but it bugged me.
I don't like how like present he is on VPR. I'm like, you don't need this, Lance. Like, you're iconic. You
he
don't...
shows up on every Bravo reality show.
Yeah, it's like
anytime they're filming, it's like you see him in the background.
Yeah,
or at a restaurant,
lurking like, with like Lance. A pumptini.
And didn't he do? He did a business with Jackson Brittany, I think.
That's dark.
Like some drink. Or
did he
something.
Invest in the beer cheese? Wait, did he invest in Just Add X?
Yes, I think that's what it. Maybe I'm wrong.
That
like, don't quote
sounds
me on
like
that.
A drink that's like asking to be roofied.
Did
like,
it even ever get released or what happened to AdX?
We're going to get blocked even just speaking this out loud.
I just got blocked from Jax.
You got blocked?
On Twitter. Yeah. I don't know why. I never tweeted him in my life.
You got blocked? Yeah. Oh
I mean,
God.
I think everyone's gotten blocked.
I haven't gotten blocked.
Whatever.
I really thought when I posted the photo of him saying he looked like Steel from Balto that like that would be the thing that got me blocked, but it's true.
Let's not ruin this episode okay. by talking about him.
Sorry.
Where were we?
All right, so
boy banders.
Boy band Nick, Jeff Timmons.
We really got off track here, muscles. Didn't we?
I always do this.
All of a
too.
Sudden, we're talking about Balto, and I'm like, "What happened? What happened to my show?" You know what, Hannah? That's showbiz,
and that's showbiz, kid.
I don't even know what the fuck we were talking about.
Is what you're talking about?
Oh, what's left of me? The
what's
video.
Left of me?
Okay, yeah. So
and Vanessa.
So he goes on this press tour. He does this whole video alluding to this whole relationship with Jessica, and then, they sleep together. Jessica and Nick sleep together yes. again after the What's Left of Me video. Mm-hmm. He goes to her house, I think. Mm-hmm. They hook up and she said it was like closure. But so my question is like, what was happening with Vanessa? Did Vanessa read this book? Were Nick and Vanessa together at the time? Did Vanessa get mad that she finds out in this book that Nick slept with his ex?
Right. I don't know. I wouldn't be thrilled.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like by the time the What's Left of Me What's Left of Me video was made, there was already something going on between them. Or if not, they like left the shoot together and like got drinks or something.
It's so funny on YouTube. You can watch interviews, all three of them together because Vanessa did the TRL and it's chilling. There's like a lot of them on YouTubes.
Oh my gosh. I watched an entire episode of Newlyweds on the treadmill yesterday and I'm planning on doing it today.
It was a different kind of reality show, a different yeah. pace.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful time.
It was a wonderful time.
Wonderful time. And I had heard from one of the producers that when Ashley Simpson's show started, mm-hmm. it started like season two of Newlyweds. That's when Ashley came on the scene. Mm-hmm. And I had heard that there was some friction with Jessica because now Ashley was getting some attention.
Oh my God, God forbid. And then I remember when Ashley released the song, Living in the Shadow,
someone else's dream.
She always sounded like she was in pain. Try to find the animal, but every time, it's like, whoa.
Called to May.
May. Jessica's like,
We're loving angels instead.
Well, I'm loving angels instead.
Well, it's so weird because early on in her career, or even you could see on YouTube the footage of Jessica in high school singing Broadway, and she's got like such a strong, powerful voice. And I think executives did try to make her into Britney Spears, and I think it fucked up her voice and her confidence and all that, because later on, the later you get in her singing career, the more baby voiced it is.
Yes.
And it's a weird shift.
Mandy did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be with
you. It's like, this like sexy baby whisper.
You know the Ashley Simpson song Shadow though? I, first of all, love that album. Autobiography is fantastic. So, so good. And I remember listening to that. And at the time I was like just in high school, I think, or I was young. And my brother Brian played college basketball. And the team, he played for Kent State University. And the team at the time was like in the Elite Eight. Like they were really good. And I remember my parents were sort of neglectful of me at the time because they were always going to basketball games. Like they were traveling with, like they were every minute they were gone. And here I was trying to get attention. And I remember like listening to that song being like, this is just like my relationship with my brother. I remember like just thinking like, I relate to this.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, that album was really raw. I also like
raw.
It was raw. You know, Ashley got, she went there, but I feel like it was also interesting reading this book and, again, going back to like the mixed messages that the Simpson girls grew up with, you know, Ashley singing a song called La La, where, you know, you make me want to la la in the kitchen on the floor. But like then 2 seconds
ago, drink the milk up. I want more.
Yeah. You make me want to scream. It's like 2 seconds ago, Joe was like, you know, a preacher.
Mm-hmm. And Joe was just making that money.
and then Jessica's like, he had an earring. Like he was kind of a liberal like preacher.
Ashley really had a journey in her career. And even on the Ashley Simpson show, you see it. She was on Seventh Heaven. She had the blonde hair. And then it's like, now we need to differentiate you. The best chance for success is to dye your hair black.
And chop it off.
Chop it off and pretend you're Avril Lavigne. And
Tina was pissed. Tina was mad. She was like, Ashley.
Tina needs her own show.
Oh my, I Tina live Jessica for Tara Tina. Simpson.
I love her.
Do you remember the clip in Newlyweds where they're going shopping and it's her and Jessica, Tina and Jessica, and they keep being like, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's cute. And it's just a montage of them being like, cute.
That's cute.
Oh, that is so cute.
Yeah, I like Tina's a star.
Yeah.
I think Tina's got a new man. That was revealed in the book too.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Let's talk about Joe for a minute. Yeah. So that was the one part of the book where I felt like it was lacking a little bit, although I did understand why, because Jessica was alluding to the fact that he's gay now, and I think it was pretty clear, but also she didn't want to outright say like, yeah, he's dating men now. She said he brought a man to her wedding, to Eric, but she didn't want to say flat outright, and I thought she was protecting him, and I actually liked that part about her, although selfishly, I wanted more juice about Joe.
Of course.
Because he's interesting to me.
He is interesting. I'm happy. Like, it seems like their family dynamics were very, I don't know, like stressful for everyone involved. And with Jessica, like, it sucked that she was pregnant when everything with her parents hit the fan. And there is a part where Joe like called her and is like, you gave me the confidence to leave your mother. And Jessica's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that was wild. I think like he looped her in too much as far as the separation went. But, you know, it seems like now everyone's doing well.
Also, it's never a good idea for family to work together. Like, he was her manager.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I don't think it's ever a good thing because it eventually will cause too many issues.
Yeah. And she had to fire him like 5 times.
I follow him on Instagram and he photographs male models in their underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a shift to me. Like, it's like he always is posting these like almost naked men who are young men. They're in their 20s, it looks like.
I mean, he took photos of friend of the pod, Tom Sandoval.
Right. And he showed up at her wedding.
Yeah.
With this young man.
Young man.
But I was upset, Jessica. I want her to go into it more, but I understood.
Yeah. It's and like someone up, had to be spared.
And maybe they're saving it for Joe's book. Papa Joe might be releasing a book and I'd read it.
I want Tina to do a line of like velour tracksuits.
Oh, yeah. Me
she
too.
Probably already has. With
I
the
actually
Justice Season line.
Was thinking about velour tracksuits recently. I really want them to come back.
Me too.
Yeah. And I want them to be for men too.
Like, yes.
I guess they need a Juicy Couture needs a comeback.
I know. Would you wear one with like an adornment or you would? What would the adornment be?
You mean like bedazzling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What like design would you have? Like a skull or like a cross or like a fleur-de-lis?
That's how I would like the updates to the Juicy Couture to be. I don't want like the affliction style lettering.
Yeah, same.
You know, the font. I would like the fonts to change.
Same.
And then maybe like, I don't need like the skull work, but I wouldn't mind like I remember they would do diamonds on everything or like, you know, studded. I think I would like that still.
That'd be cute.
What about you?
I think I would love to rock a Juicy tracksuit. I think I would like it to be like monogrammed or something, but I don't know. I'm like, I like a Danielle Staub, like old English font. Is that the same as the affliction font? I think
kinda.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
Oh, you like the gothic. Kind
yeah.
Of,
yeah.
Dramatic.
Back in the day, I loved skull work. I had like a silk scarf with skulls on it that I would like tie around my neck and wear to school.
Right.
I thought I was like Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Did you
punk.
Do the trucker hats?
No, but I wanted to. I was too poor for a Von Dutch hat, but all I wanted was a Von Dutch hat. Did you?
I didn't. I had like the off-brand Von Dutch.
Love.
I made a lot of mistakes at Pacific Sunwear around the time, and I would go and I buy all the trucker hats when they were like on sale, you know, I would only be able to get them when they were on their way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also had like, there was an era I went through where I thought I was a skater and I remember having like a real tight necklace on, a t-shirt that was 2 sizes too small.
Hot.
And the big jeans, like the really big jeans, like Ashley used to wear on the Ashley Simpson, the widest leg. And the belt, and I had one of those. Remember when the wallets would have the chain?
Yes, I was gonna say, did you have a chain? Cool.
Yeah, that was also around the time I got my tattoo.
Oh my gosh, I had a lot of jelly bracelets because of Ashley, like those little like rubber ones that came in all the different colors. But then I remember like some asshole at school was like, "You know what the black ones mean, right?
What
it means
mean?
You have sex." Like apparently they all had like a secret meaning, and I was like, "Fuck off! It's an accessory. Let me live."
Wow, I didn't even know they had meanings.
Let me wear my rubber jewelry in peace.
Speaking of rubber jewelry, this is neither here nor there too. But remember when they would do blow up furniture?
Oh my gosh, yes. All I wanted was like an inflatable couch.
Yeah. It was like, can I? I remember asking for Christmas for an inflatable chair.
Yeah.
It's like, who wants that? And then it would, you know, pop right away.
Yeah.
You'd go in people's basements and they would just have like half deflated furniture. What's going on?
Yeah. I remember in like Model Behavior, I feel like she had like an inflatable chair and then like a bike in her house or like a car in her house. And I thought it was the coolest thing.
And I wanted so badly one of those MacBooks that had the like the green
the colors,
or the colors.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted it so bad.
Same.
And I remember the only computer we had was just the, like an off brand and it had Netscape Navigator on it. My parents refused to get us AOL. Such is life. So Joe was where I was a little bit upset that the book was missing. And then also I was a little bit upset that there wasn't a whole lot of Ken Pavis.
I know. He was present throughout the book.
He was present. But I was trying to think what happened because I think that they had a bit of a falling out.
Because they're not friends anymore.
Yeah, but like what happened? Was there something that happened or maybe they just drifted apart? But they were so close.
So close.
Even in Newlyweds, you see, he was always traveling with them and stuff.
Yeah, they came up with a line of like hair, like fake hair, like scrunchies and shit.
Casey Cobb, though, her other best friend, I was happy that it seemed like they're really close still because I was curious about that. I know on social media, they'll like wish each other happy birthday. But in the book, she even like thanked Casey and I felt really good about their solid friendship.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I also didn't realize that Casey started as like almost like someone who worked for her.
Right. I think she worked at Sony.
Yeah. And then they became like IRL friends. And I think it's cute that Jessica talks about how much she like looked up to Casey and how Casey was sort of just this. She reminded her of her cousin, Sarah, who passed away really young. That whole part was really sad. But yeah, I thought her relationship with Casey was really cute.
Her cousin who died, mm-hmm. I thought that broke my heart. And it was also an interesting thread throughout the whole book. And it seems like it's impacted her entire life. Like everything seemed to somehow kind of go the way back to that, which is interesting to me. Let's talk about Eric.
Mm-hmm.
So her current husband, Eric Johnson, who I always looked at and I was like, he never did anything for
me.
And now he really does it for me.
Same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because now, after reading the book, he seems like such a great guy.
Yes.
He had a weird relationship with that witch who ran for president, Marianne.
Yeah.
That hippie witch, mm-hmm. Marianne Williamson. Mm-hmm. But he had a very interesting relationship, but he seems like a nice, a little bit of a hippie in a good way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He seems like such a radical departure from any other guy she had ever been with.
And now when I see pictures, I'm like looking at one right now on my computer of him. Now he's a total panty dropper. Like he is mm-hmm. so hot to me. And he's got like a silver fox thing going.
Yes. And I love that he stood by her side while she was battling her addiction issues. And he's sober now too, right?
Yeah. He decided when she gave it
drink.
Up. Yeah. The drinking and the uppers mm-hmm. was interesting to me. She said at certain points in her life, she would do the uppers in the morning and mm-hmm. that helped her like function while she was drinking. She would mm-hmm. have vodka in the morning. And then she said the uppers would keep her going so she wouldn't fall asleep. And then at nighttime, she would have to take the sleeping pills.
Yeah. Ugh.
That's a lot on the body.
It's a lot. And she did it for a long time. And also, I mean, I appreciated too that she was really honest about like a lot of the like, sorry. What they did in their relationship was a lot of...
You don't apologize, girl.
Oh my God, thank you. It was a lot of partying. It was a lot of like their house was the house where everyone would congregate and drink. And like they met when she was having a bunch of people over to kind of like party all night long. And then they ended up having this like lovely conversation. So it's like for them to decide as a couple that... Or for her to be like, I can't drink anymore. And for him to be like, okay, cool, we can't drink anymore. I was just like, that's really fucking cute. And I was just really happy that she found someone who's finally going to support her in the way that she's always deserved.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice man.
And I like what a hippie he is. He like gets up early to like meditate and like wants to do yoga and like he just, and it's really cute.
He's been at a lot of her book signings too. I've seen pictures, people have been like DMing me photos at the book signings and stuff. And he seems like he's just so supportive and so handsome. Did you see at the book signings, a lot of people are coming after her for the fur? There's like a lot of protesters at her signings.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But I didn't know.
I didn't know it was real though.
Maybe I'm like naive, but I always just assume when I see fur, that it's faux fur. Is that stupid of me?
I think that's why I said, are you kidding me? Like, looking back on the last 2 seconds of my life. No, I just didn't even know people really wore real fur anymore.
What's the point? That's what I think. I'm like, what's the point?
The fake stuff's so fucking soft.
It's so real. And
yeah.
Yeah, so I... maybe she does. I don't really know. I just saw that there was protesters at a lot of her book signings.
Loved that outfit with the fur. That like 70s. She's been doing a lot of like 70s
that pink
chic.
One. Is that the one you're talking about?
Oh, no. There was one that was like kind of like a camel color that I really liked.
Oh, yeah.
But the pink one was amazing.
I mean, the looks she's giving us this whole tour.
Everything.
Assuming that they're all faux, it's like shot every look. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, incredible.
Although she is doing like a very big pant.
Yes.
Like, is that like a new thing now?
I, as a petite woman, I think like... a long wide pant can be risky, but she also always wears shoes that are like sky high. So like, I get it, but I would have shortened them a little bit. They're a little long for me. I want to see her footwear more.
Right. And cause she's known for the footwear.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like her fashion stuff? The Jessica Simpson line?
I'm not as familiar with like her like clothing, but I do love her shoes. I had a pair of her Dorsey pumps. They were like a bright blue suede and I wore them until they literally fell apart. But like they're so chic and the price point's so reasonable, but they like look very expensive and they lasted me a long time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just recently watched her QVC. This was before the book came out, but she's, you know, HSN or QVC or whatever.
The Anaconda pant.
The Anaconda pant. And some of the fashions are a little bit shocking.
Uh-huh.
You know, they look like they skew a little bit older to mm-hmm. me. And maybe that's because that's the demographic. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I keep saying it's interesting.
It is interesting.
I keep saying it's interesting. Sorry. that this book felt like a rebranding mm-hmm. of her for me. And I think that maybe the fashion line was getting a little bit stale or maybe not as successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so smart of them to do this book because it does, I think a lot of people, it's already been number one on New York Times for 2 weeks in a row. Like mm-hmm. it's selling incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's opening people's eyes against this Jessica that we all knew and love.
Yes.
And even though she's presenting flaws in the book of herself, we're still captivated by the honesty of it.
Yes.
And I feel like it's making all of us be like, oh, she doesn't make men's clothes, but, you know, I want to buy the clothes again, or I want to support her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm interested in the line, or I'm interested in whatever. And I think she alluded to the fact that she might be doing like homewares and kids clothes. And I thought this was such a smart way, because a reality show, I think, would have flopped if she did one now. And Ashley and Evan, her sister, they did a reality show recently that flopped. Mm-hmm. I watched every episode, but it did
not. What network was it on?
E.
E. Oh, that's right.
They're a mess. Mm-hmm.
TBD.
But I did watch it, and I think people were excited to see Ashley, but then it was a different kind of show. So I think the same thing would have happened with Jessica if she did a reality show.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a smart rebrand.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, like, for me as someone who sort of, like, fell off outside of the Jessica Thursdays, I didn't really keep up with Jessica, and it did make me want to, like, check in on everything and be like, what's she been up to? What's her line like? What's going on?
What about how she had, though? What was it? The surgery for the tummy after the
kid,
and then had another, and then kept having more kids?
I know,
a nightmare.
She had, like, a tummy tuck that went, like, terribly awry, and Eric was like, why the fuck did I let you do this? And at this point, she was still, like, abusing, like, pills, and it was just, like, a whole disaster.
Oh my God.
I'm happy she's okay, though.
Yeah, I mean, thank God. But I'd be so pissed if I had a tummy tuck after a child and then also
and she got pregnant like
again.
5 minutes later.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Woo!
That's a lot. What do you make of her acting career? Do you think she'll ever act again?
I don't think she will. I think that ship has sailed, but I do love her films. I started watching, not Private Valentine, Blonde Ambition last week. I haven't finished it yet. I didn't go back to it, but I started it and I was very interested.
I think, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I agree about starting it and not going back to it. I don't know. I'm curious to see where her career goes next. Like, this book was a great rebranding. It got her back in the public eye. She's been doing so many interviews and press and everything. And I don't know where she goes now. Like, she released music with the audio version of the book. Originally, when I read the book, I always tend to prefer to read than listen. But then a lot of people were saying, you have to listen to it. Her voice cracks. She tells us she's sad. She's laughing, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I downloaded the audiobook, and there's 6 songs at the end. And look, I think it's hard for any of these pop girls to come back after a hiatus. Like, we're seeing that even with Katy Perry or these people who had huge, huge hits. They can't take time off. The minute they take time off, when they come back, it's a whole new generation. It's the younger generation that buys music. So when you take time off, like, the younger generation just doesn't know you.
Yeah.
I was just talking to some friends about Rihanna and wondering if when she comes back, because she was – had so many hits, and I worship Rihanna.
Same.
But she was doing an album a year, and so now there's a whole new generation that hasn't heard new Rihanna music for so long, and I think Rihanna, out of anyone, has the best chance at having musical success again.
Anti was so good. I'm so still good. Like riding that Anti high.
Yeah. Desperado.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, so good. Kiss It Better. Oh.
Kiss It Better is like a Prince song. It's like, so, makes you want to
just
fuck everything.
Yeah.
But these pop girls, it's hard to take time off. Anyone in pop, it's hard to take time off.
Look at T-Swift.
For some reason, society tends to accept men more when they take time off. Justin Timberlake could take, he did have a flop album with that Man in the Woods or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't good.
I feel like men get more chances to like take a bunch of time off and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas women, unfortunately, society doesn't allow them to.
It's really fucking annoying.
And radio doesn't play women as much, which is a problem, particularly in country music.
Right now. Wow. The more you know. I did really like how Jessica was like, I'm going to go back to country because like that's where I'm actually happiest. And how Dolly was like a supporter of hers.
I love that Dolly was. She tells a story about Dolly in the book where she was performing for Dolly's like a Kennedy Center honor thing. And she couldn't get through the performance because she was fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolly was nice to her after the performance and then even recorded a song for Jessica's country album.
Yeah.
Come On Over is her country debut single, Jessica's. And I like that song.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah. You know, at the time I was working for Academy of Country Music when Jessica was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And the ACM Awards, they happen in Vegas. And usually there's like concerts in... what is it, Fremont, before the award show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Jessica was scheduled that year to do a concert there. And then her album like wasn't doing well, so they pulled her out. I don't know if it was ACM that pulled her out or if it was her label or who pulled her out. Mm-hmm. But it was like a quick shift. And they were like, okay, we're not supporting this country album anymore. Like they were supporting it. And then they were just like, oh, well, we're not doing it anymore. And I remember that she backed out, and I think they filled her spot with like Leanne Rimes or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like so disappointed because I was excited to see Jessica. Anyway, Yeah, the country music shift. Oh, it's the music in the book with the six songs at the audiobook. That was an interesting release to me because that's never happened before that I am aware of, that somebody's releasing extra content like that with the audiobook.
Yeah.
And the songs were okay. I do love the song Party of One, but I like the idea that Jessica doesn't give a fuck. She's like, if you like this song, here it is, but you don't have to buy this album. It's just coming with the book.
I know. Well, and that's what's wild too, is reading the book. It's like she tried so many different avenues to break in musically, and it really wasn't until Newlyweds happened and people fell in love with her, like, as a personality, that they then suddenly gave more of a shit about her music. Like, In This Skin was super successful because of the show.
Yeah, With You was such a hit.
Yeah.
And it's, like, such a great mid-tempo song, but it wouldn't have been a hit without Newlyweds.
No.
But it was interesting that Nick didn't have the same hits. Remember, he tried to do that solo album, and it was... Lop.
Crashed and burned. I have been resistant to watch Love is Blind because honestly, I don't want to encourage Nick and Jessica. I know everyone's. I'm sorry, Nick and Vanessa.
They're not even in it.
That's what I've heard.
It's so weird that they. I actually think that they filmed the Nick and Vanessa scenes like way after the fact because my theory is that they filmed this whole show. And I don't know this to be true, but they filmed this whole show allegedly in 2018. And then the production company that filmed it sold it to Netflix. And I believe that Netflix was like, okay, well, we need a star or a host attached so that we could send them to do press. Because Nick and Vanessa have been doing press for that show.
Right.
And so I believe Netflix, like, we need someone. And so they had already filmed the show. And then I think they like added Nick and Vanessa in post. And then... they aired it because it aired like a year and a half after they wrapped filming.
Interesting.
And the Nick and Vanessa scenes are so scant. It's like they're barely in it.
They're like, so you will see if love is blind. And that's
they
like
they just
it.
Show up randomly. And then they're doing the reunion. I think
they're filming that now, right?
Yeah. As of this record, this won't air until after it's probably out. But yeah, they did a reunion. And
so you're fully caught up on Love is Blind.
Well, no, there's episodes that were just released today.
Oh.
When this podcast airs, it will have been over.
Okay.
But I haven't watched the last batch.
Okay. See, I only watched the first like two of the first batch. And I thought the whole show was good because I couldn't get into the circle. And I thought it was going to be similar where like they're in the pods.
I felt that
like,
way about Circle too.
I was like, why do I want to watch you dictating to a TV? And in the pods, I was like, it was just them leaning against the wall being like, I just want to see you, Ruben.
It feels like fakey.
They're like, fake-y. Oh, I love you. I'm like, you've been talking for like 3 hours. Like, you know, that's like if I decided I wanted to marry my like freshman year boyfriend, Clinton, just because we talked on our Motorola Razors for 3 hours before bed.
Yeah. I would have wanted to marry Clinton back then.
He was a skateboarder.
Oh, I would have wanted.
He has a really cute kid now.
I thought that Love is Blind was fake. And then once I sort of gave into it and just allowed myself to just, even if it is fake, to just let it wash all over me, I liked it.
Okay.
Because it does feel weird. And the whole first batch of episodes, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, they're not real, right? Like, they don't really. And then it's like, okay, well, even if it is or isn't, I don't care. I'm on board.
You're unbothered. I have a bunch of time off next week, and I'm looking for low budget fun. So I'm probably going to binge that and then also watch Below Deck from last season because I never watched it.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I'm trying to think, what else did we have to talk about, you know, this is going to sound controversial regarding the book and Nick and Jessica, but there's some little tiny part of me that believes that maybe one day they can maybe rekindle something. Not a
romantic
love.
Okay, good.
I don't know. Did you feel, I don't know.
I mean, it does feel a little tense.
There was a moment in the book that she talks about running into Nick and Vanessa at like a restaurant or something. And she said everyone that she was with was like, oh, there's Nick. And so she went to like try to say hi to him, but that she didn't see him. And so they never ended up talking. And that to me was chilling, that chapter.
Well, and everyone was like, he's right there. And she's like, I can't see him. And then she like started crying and got embarrassed and was like, well, now it's weird. And then her and Eric just like left.
Do you think Vanessa's just like so pissed about this book?
I think Vanessa fucking hates Jessica with a fiery passion.
Sure.
And I think she's really mad about the book. I also think John Mayer's reps are like, if you say one fucking word, we're going to kill you.
He's got to be in hiding.
For sure. And there was also a point in the book where her and John were broken up and something happened to her that was like in the press. And then she's like, John decided to say something publicly about it because like, why wouldn't he, even though it had nothing to do with him? And I just feel like that's sort of his MO is to just be like, oh, I'm like a straight guy and I'm just going to give you my opinion whether or not you asked for it. So I feel like for him to have to just shut the fuck up right now is probably really hard. What's really sad is she finds out that basically like he was yes, obsessed with her, but also like addicted to the emotional back and forth of like their on and offness, and that that was the inspiration for him to write a lot of music. So
yeah,
and she was like, once she put the pieces together, she was like, oh shit,
the pieces of her,
the piece, the pieces,
on a Monday.
I'm waiting. Oh my god,
I love that album.
I love Autobiography, like that song Autobiography.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannah, do you have any final thoughts about Open Book? I know we just sort of scratched the surface. We've been talking forever. This is a little bit of a long episode, but we scratched the surface on this book.
I just think everyone needs to read it. I think go snatch a copy, and I would say buy it, because you're going to want to keep it on your bookshelf. You're going to want to lend it out to your friends, but make sure they give it back to you, and just like get ready to cozy up with a glitter cup and Jessica.
Let me tell you something. Every single person I've heard from that has read this book has said they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person I've been hearing from people online, social media, people are saying, you know, I thought I'd pick it up because you were talking about the book, and I picked it up and I was obsessed with it. Not one person has said they were disappointed.
Yep.
I think it's great to read. If you're into nostalgia, if you're into pop culture, if you at any point in your life were attracted to this woman, Jessica Simpson, I think you'll read it and you'll be so impressed and excited and amazed at what she's been through, her tenacity, everything that she's been through in her life. I'm so impressed with her. And it gave me personally a newfound respect for her. And I'm just rooting for the girl now and the woman. And I hope that she continues to thrive.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see what that next step is. Like, what is it going to be?
Me too.
Is she going to just continue with the fashions? I don't think music's going to be a huge push for her. I think she'll do like she did in the audiobook and just kind of release stuff as she wants. She's not signed to a label, so music's not the answer. I don't know about acting. It seems like she's not really interested in that. But she's going to be in the public eye somehow. So what is the next thing?
What if she had like a podcast?
I would love it.
I would listen every week.
I would listen.
If her and Casey Cobb did a podcast, I'd be a super fan.
Yeah.
I want her to release a line of tracksuits for the Jessica Simpson line.
I would love that. Her and Tina Juice Couture just releasing.
Yeah. And like, when I get to a place with my show where I get to do live shows, like I want to be wearing a Jessica Simpson tracksuit with a giant wedge.
Yeah. And wearing some dessert body product.
Some dessert body product that ultimately makes me sick.
Oh, I wanted that so bad. That me dessert too. Body product. Hannah, thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media?
Thank you so much for having me. First and foremost, this was really fun. You can find me at Hannah A. Brown, Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter.
Not the Bachelor contestant.
And my podcast is called Brown Eyed Junicorn, and it's a pop culture pod. So give it a listen.
Yes. And go subscribe and find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to Patreon. It's patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you click become a patron, you could donate $4 or more per month, get access to all the bonus episodes. I'm doing just one a month. More importantly, the money helps to support the show. So thank you all who are over there. I'm on tour right now, so I hope to see all of you. And then I'll be hopefully adding more dates at the end of the year. I'm on Cameo, but I usually turn it off. I'm on traveling or whatever, but you can sign up to be notified when I'm back on there. But it's cameo.com/Danny Pellegrino. Do you want the merch? We need to add a Jessica shirt or something.
Yeah.
A Jessica. But so it's the merch is at everythingiconic.store. Everythingiconic.store. Maybe we could do like a hashtag Jessica Thursday.
Love.
We do have Queen Icon Legend shirts now, so you can order those over there. What else? Am I forgetting it? Should we do a little cool down?
Yeah.
Will you indulge me?
Sure.
I'll take a deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Take another deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Now just think of your favorite Jessica Simpson song. Maybe it's Irresistible, but maybe it's With You. Maybe it's The Boots Are Made for Walking. Public Affair is a fantastic disco record.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even talk about how she said that her response, I'm talking in this voice.
I really like it.
Jessica decided to do a disco-inspired album.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, re-listening to Public Affair is a good time.
It's a great time.
So go listen to one of her songs and just think about what a resilient woman she is.
Yeah.
And support other women.
Yes.
On radio, too. Listen to women voices in music. Go download on Spotify or iTunes. Listen to some women.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.